What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We're back with hour two, which means we do have our winner for the listener appreciation party. We'll do it a couple more times this week, tomorrow and Friday. I'm not sure. Are we doing it next? Well, I won't be here. I will be off next week. Are giveaways still going on next week? Do we know?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So it'll be up to Raheel or Will or Shannon and Brian to do it as they fill in for me next week as I take a sabbatical, like the one Messi may take.
Recharge the batteries.
If you missed it, Sean said it off the air that Leo Messi, still grieving the loss of his father, put a long message out there about the love of his father, and he threw in a line about reevaluating soccer and playing it. Older player, coming off a great World Cup, and honestly, he's played in two more World Cups than some people thought he would.
Yeah,
think about right. that. People thought he was done in 18 after France eliminated Argentina, I believe, in the second round, because he at the time was going to be, I think he might have been 31, if you think about a 35-year-old playing.
Didn't he step away, too, from the national team?
I think he's done that
16?
He's done that in the past if he had disagreements with the manager.
Yeah.
But he loves Scaloni, who is currently the manager. I would, too, if you build a whole system around me and don't ask me to run. So
back-to-back final.
Yeah, and it's worked. Yeah. So there was some thought that he might at least hold on to the next Copa. There's a World Cup in Argentina, at least a game in Argentina this upcoming World Cup. So people are wondering, could 43-year-old Messi play another World Cup? Well, life happens sometimes. And when your father passes away, you start to think about things. So there's a long message. I think it's exclusively in Spanish, but people can translate it. And there are some questions. At least he asked some questions about soccer and his future. So that's the news in the soccer world as of today. But we do have a winner in our listener for our listener appreciation party. What was the sounder of choice this time?
Rolando chose
that peanut butter scan.
That one is popular as well. We've heard it several times from non-winners even.
Yeah.
From people who didn't get the opportunity, but they have referenced it. So, Rolando, welcome. You're going to the listener appreciation party, and the lore behind that is we just pulled that particular seconds of sound from a Jason Whitlock, let's say, statement. I don't want to call it a monologue, where he was describing the issues going on at Fox Sports with Joy Taylor and referenced the temptation that he had because he worked with her. And he talked about how he had to control himself to avoid a potential scenario that was facing some of the men over at Fox at the time of him recording that. And he
that peanut butter skin.
He mentioned her peanut butter skin.
He also
as a temptation talked about her
different parts,
her body parts. Let's just say that
one, not a clip,
not something we will play.
No.
Because then I would have to explain it over and over again. Peanut butter skin is enough.
Yeah, people get it.
But they understand. And it's just a funny thing to hear a grown man say.
That peanut butter skin.
Butter.
Yeah.
Butter skin. So that's where that comes from.
So that's our fifth distinct one.
That's cool.
That's been
people
chosen.
Have chosen different ones, and peanut butter skin makes its first appearance for a winner, while others have certainly made mention of it. So I was looking through some college football stuff, and this particular headline is prime for jokes, which is part of the deal when you are a conference rival, someone you look for any way to make jokes. And a sports scientist has suggested that if John Mateer is inaccurate this year, which we saw quite a bit of last year, it will be perhaps because he's too bulked up. He's too jacked up. It's not conducive to being a quarterback.
Brady Quinn disease. That was the deal with Brady Quinn.
Did Tebow have some of that too?
Yeah, his mechanics his were mechanics also wonky. Yeah, but
the throw, the yeah, long but he, throwing
yeah,
motion.
Yeah, the super buff guy. Because I think Brady Quinn got bigger between college and the NFL, or maybe his last year of college, and then in the NFL, and then obviously his NFL career fizzled out. So
Mateer began working this offseason, working out with the offensive lineman. Real bros bro guy. He put on anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds entering camp. And Pat Powers is throwing out a theory that that's too much muscle for a quarterback. He used to be the Northern Illinois analytics guy. He's been around football. He's now a sports science researcher and saying, hey, bulk isn't always a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't.
Wait
I
a minute.
Didn't fully now, know his.
Let's say. Let me make sure. Let me make sure the scientist is correct on this and what he actually believes. Because this headline suggests that the bulk might. But according to the scientist, don't worry about it. Let me save John Mateer. Don't worry about being bulky. The scientist says you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
But the initial headline was, is John Mateer too jacked to throw? But according to the scientist, no. Him being bigger and stronger isn't going to affect him.
Okay.
He was like, actually, his natural lack of accuracy will be the problem.
Oh.
No.
That was ugly.
That was me, not him. The scientist doesn't have those thoughts.
Oh, I thought that was the
no, no. No, it was me.
He's listed on ESPN.com as 6'1", 224. That is very big for a quarterback.
He was working out with the lineman, man.
I know. But I was like, he might just be on the shorter end of quarterbacks. And so he just looks kind of stockier, sure. You know, like it just that the muscle is just distributed differently than like a 6'5" quarterback. But no, 225 is that was some real quarterback weight. And yeah, I'm also looking at stats from last year. It didn't translate, I'd say.
Maybe it was because of the hand injury that led to the lack of accuracy. But don't worry about him being too bulky. That ain't going to be a problem.
Good. That's you don't want. Come on. You don't want to discourage guys from being in the best shape of their life.
I don't know why he needs to work out with the offensive lineman, but that was just his choice.
He's just a dude, you know?
Just a dude being a guy.
I think it is that, like, he just wants to, man. You know, it'd be cool. It sounds cool. Be like, yeah, he actually works out with the offensive
line. Let me ask you this, Sean. Yeah. We have watched a lot of college football. Our teams have had their ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would be all that tutti-frutti about hearing my quarterback, particularly a quarterback who struggled throwing the football last year.
Thumb injury.
Okay. Working out with the offensive line. Hey, can I get stories about you working at – I'm sure he did throw the receivers. That's just what happens. Can I get more stories on that?
Yeah.
And the receivers are telling us that he's putting the ball exactly where he wants to put it. John's fully healthy. The ball's coming out of his hand. Great. He's hitting me in stride. I feel like I'm going to have a big year thanks to working with John. And maybe those stories are filtering out of Oklahoma camp. And this one's just a thing because he put out a picture of himself shirtless, which is another thing I don't want for my quarterback. Hey,
oh, man.
Hey, a dude being a guy. I don't need it from my quarterback. You know what? I don't mind a bad body quarterback if he throws dots. That's all.
Yeah. Peyton Manning wasn't exactly a supermodel, even like physically. Like he wasn't. You know, those guys weren't in incredible shape. I don't think Brett Favre ever lifted a weight. You know, Yeah. I do get where like that sentiment's from, where it's like, I don't need you to be, you know, chiseled here. I just need you to throw the football. And yeah, that's something mature.
Maybe it won't matter.
Mature kind of struggled
with. And, you know, because of how they're going to likely use him, maybe an extra bulk will help as if they run him more.
That too.
As it's, some called runs.
Hey, you're John Tebow, all right? That's what we're... Just like at the beginning of last year, I'm fair and balanced. I said Arch Manning needs to figure out that he's more Arch Ellinger right now. That's some guys just need the like, hey, I know you want to sit back and dissect, but we kind of need you just to be a batting ram for us, especially with OU's. It's more of an offensive line. Our list last year was more of a O-line problem than specifically a running back problem, but. They needed the help in the run game, so he was the second leading rusher, and he missed two games. No, three games. He missed three games, and he was the second leading rusher.
So maybe we know the plan.
Yeah, and the leading rusher had 480 yards. Mateer had 431. Yeah,
Oklahoma was was pretty poor offensively. I had to watch them over the last four or five games, hoping for them to lose because of where my team was in the college football playoff pecking order. And I watched a bad offensive team just find ways to pull out wins. And it took BYU losing to Tech for a second time for the committee to do the right thing and put my team in the playoff. Let's get to Keith here. It is a Wednesday, which at a time on the station meant the question of what are the odds got asked. So Keith wants to keep that tradition alive. What's up, Keith?
You guys got a couple of what are the odds Wednesdays for you. Try to get on the last show, but unsuccessful.
It's tough.
But two things. Who plays their respective professional sport? Who's got a better chance of playing their professional sport first? Brandon Ayuk or Anthony Rendon on the Angels? Seems like after he hit that 2019 World Series home run of Zach Greinke, he hasn't played much baseball since. Second question is, with J.J. McCarthy now not named the starter, could there be a situation where my guy Carson Wentz overtakes him as the backup and pushes J.J. to third string clipboard status, not even active on game days? So a couple questions there. And also, what are the odds? Number three, Keenan Allen signs with the Ravens because I need a veteran in that wide receiver locker room. Thanks, guys.
What was the first one? What are the odds, Brandon Ayuk or...
Ayuk Rendon.
Rendon play.
I literally started writing it down.
Thank you.
Once I saw him gearing up for two.
Thank you.
I was like, yeah, Rendon, Ayuk, who plays...
Well, we know that Rendon doesn't have much interest in playing.
Yeah, I think Rendon's 0%.
Yeah, Ayuk may not be able to play because he can't be what the NFL would deem normal or worth it. So, it's an interesting question. I would give Ayuk more of a chance because he seems to want to play. I just don't know that he knows how to go about getting himself in a spot where people will let him play. We'll go Ayuk.
Yeah, social media blackout. What I would prescribe, social media blackout for Brandon Ayuk for until you get signed, and just let your agents handle the Niners cutting you, basically.
Sure.
What
was the second one?
Wentz beating out McCarthy.
In 2026, to start a sentence with my guy Carson Wentz, I know you love a free agent. I know you love a redemption story. How could he be your guy? How could anyone want Carson Wentz as their guy after like 2017? Like the 2018 season, I think he came back because he was coming back from injury. Maybe Eagles fans said, he's our guy still because he had a great 17 before he got hurt.
I think until they drafted Hurts. Yeah.
You could reasonably say Carson Wentz is our guy.
So this is his touchdown interceptions starting in 17, 33-7, 21-7, 27-7, and then 2020, 16-15. Boop, I'm out. No thanks to that. If J.J. McCarthy gets traded, which I don't.
Oh, yeah, that was his other one.
I don't really think happens.
Would he get traded?
Yeah.
Actually, that would be the natural conclusion of this.
I don't think he gets traded.
I think he's their backup unless he causes a problem or two.
Yeah.
And then
in the offseason, they ship him off.
Yeah. If he just puts his head down and works, that's a guy who's a cheap option as a backup, at least for this year and next. Right? This is his third year?
Yes.
So for
ACL, first year, played last year.
So this year and next year, if he can stomach being the backup in Minnesota and does the work to become a better player, you want a guy you like talent-wise to be a backup, and he would do it on the cheap. Now, is Kyler Murray a long-term solution? That's when the questions start. After this year, where Kyler's making $1.3 million because he signed for the minimum because he's still getting his money from the Cardinals. It's much like the Tua situation in Atlanta. If Kyler Murray's not your long-term option, then you might have to get rid of JJ, because if you're bringing in a younger quarterback, you may just prefer to have a clean slate. But if Kyler's there for a couple more years, if he does well and they don't make the Sam Darnold mistake, which, to be fair to the Vikings, after how Sam Darnold ended this year, no one was like, man, I can't believe they're letting Sam Darnold go.
And they drafted McCarthy.
And everyone knows he was next up.
Yeah,
It's comfortable. It's easy to crush him for letting Darnold go after what happened. We will point out he did lead the league in turnovers in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah. The Vikings aren't winning the Super Bowl with
Sam Darnold the way he played last year in the regular season. So I don't want to do the easy thing and get after him. But if Kyler is good and they do make the playoffs, I think he comes back, and then you make the determination. Maybe we can find something for JJ. Or, you know what? If JJ handles it in the way they like, they keep him around for a couple of years, and he wants to learn under Kevin O'Connell and get better as a player, and then maybe show the world that he's pretty good in whatever opportunities
he
gets.
I guess he is just living long enough to see himself become Sam Darnold.
Sure.
Where it's like, hey, if I'm a backup under these offensive gurus long enough, maybe one day, 9 years after I get drafted, I can do something solid like Sam Darnold did. Drafted in 2018, 2025, or 2024, really, started turning things around. So, yeah, you're just on the 6 year plan, 7 year plan of first round pick quarterback development.
Yeah, let's hope our quarterback doesn't get himself involved in any of those plans or trajectories, whether it be the Darnold one, although, you know, he won a Super Bowl, but that's with three teams after he was a Jet, maybe? Did he get to the third team?
Panthers, Vikings, Niners,
so his
Seahawks.
Fourth team.
Yeah.
Let's hope that if CJ wins the Super Bowl, it's here. Chris wants to talk Texans. Chris, please hold, like I'm a receptionist. Please hold.
The automated.
Yeah. We'll get to you when we come back.
The Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
Let's get to Chris. He did hold through the break. That he wants to talk some Texans. Texans have a preseason game against the Chargers where don't expect to see a lot of the ones. Maybe you'll see some snaps from Keelan Relich to get his first snaps in at center. But of consequence, don't expect to see anything that, as far as players are concerned, don't expect to see those stars that we know are going to be part of a big year. Not in preseason game one. D'Amico Ryans talked about that a couple days ago. Let's get to Chris here. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. So, yeah, my question was, I heard D'Amico was speaking on CJ, you know, working with Daniil and going against Will and stuff like that, and holding on to the ball, stepping up in the pocket, and all those type of things that he said he liked in his, you know, tangibles and stuff like that. But is that, if, with all that being said, is it only because CJ knows that Will Daniil is not going to hit him, is, you know, why he's making those type of transitions in practice, and, you know, he's still throwing interceptions, so... I mean, can we take much from it, what D'Amico said about how CJ is looking right now, knowing, you know, him knowing that Daniil and Will is not going to hit him? And I think I'll be listening. Appreciate it, guys.
That is generally a debate, like in college football, like if your quarterback who's untested is dealing against the defense. But what happens when it's live? How does he deal with it? That's not normally a conversation for an NFL quarterback who's played three seasons. But it's not a bad thing to put up. In fact, we'll play the sound that Chris is talking about here, because the pass rush of the Texans always going to be a problem, particularly for an offensive line that they've put together in one offseason for the most part, at least with their three new guys. And who knows how cohesive they're going to be. And it's been a quarterback who has dealt with pressure for most of his career. Year three, not as many sacks taken, but those first 2 years, pretty bad. That's why they've done the revamp. Here is D'Amico Ryans on how his quarterback is dealing with the Texans' pass rush.
The defense is making it very tough on us offensively, and we know that. We know our offense is up against a challenge every single day, going against Will, Daniil on the edges. I think CJ has grown from the aspect of being able to, you know, really maneuver in the pocket. And not just maneuvering, but it's keeping two hands on the football. It's securing the football. It's stepping up in the pocket. It's still keeping his eyes downfield, right, making the proper reads, still throwing strikes. Like, that's what's impressive about him. He's not getting flustered. If things break down, he's still able to maneuver and make those plays on the run that I talked about a couple days ago.
So does that translate? We've had a couple calls in the last couple weeks about how the Texans' defense is affecting the quarterback because of what he has to go through every day in practice, and does it lead to game day stuff? I think some of what you're hearing, I won't call it coach speak, but does it have any consequence on what we're going to see on Sundays? I don't think so. Yes, the Texans are giving you a look, a dramatic look if you're an O-line dealing with them. You can maybe comfort yourself with saying, hey, no one else has this type of pass rush or defense. So
it'll be easier.
It'll be easier for the offense. I don't know if that really translates. I know the iron sharpens iron thing is some things people like to lean into, but maybe you don't have iron.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got wood.
That's the thing.
Maybe you've got a dull blade that no matter who gets after you, you're going to have problems. Best defensive line in football, 15th best. Doesn't really matter because your competency isn't up to a point where you can hold up. It's just awful against the Texans defense. Maybe it'll be bad against a lesser defense.
Yeah, you're going up against the number one defense in practice. You know, let's just say it's an average because it will just be a bunch of different teams throughout the season. Let's say it's the 15th best, but you're the 28th best offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, like
you're still outmatched.
Yeah, then what? Yeah, I think in some instances it might help. Like, you know, in college, like Ohio State's DBs versus their wide receivers. Like, I'm sure as a DB, like you get better because you get tested by Jeremiah Smith and just an assembly line of future NFL wide receivers. Like, yeah, that probably does help you more than if they were to practice against Kent State's wide receivers.
But at the NFL level.
Especially a quarterback with the D-line, because I think that there is a difference between knowing that you're going to get hit and not. And just, we see it with fundamentals, with quarterback fundamentals a lot, where like in practice, you can have the ideal, you know, arm slot or whatever wind up to throwing the ball. But in a game, you kind of revert back to whatever is natural, whatever is comfortable, because it is just a split second, like, need to get the ball out because I'm going to get hit. And in practice, you're not going to get hit. And I think that the ball security stuff, I think some of that might just be – it's easier to focus on that when you know, like, in the back of your head, Danielle Hunter's not actually going to tackle me. But in a game, in a real game, you know, when you play the Cowboys, it's like, no, Quinnen Williams is actually going to try to tackle me. Like, there is a difference there.
And to that point, let's play this from Mike McDonald. Mike McDonald from it's from Hard Knocks. The Seahawks, the defending champs, are on Hard Knocks. And this speaks to what quarterbacks know is going to go down in practice. You're not going to get hit. And if anyone comes close, they're going to get yelled at. Here's Mike McDonald yelling at one of his defenders for getting too close to Sam Darnold.
Derek, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you bull rushing right now near the quarterback?
I'm not trying to hump. I can't see behind.
You can't be trying to hump right now. This isn't the time for it. Damn it, Derek.
That away, good timing. That away,
hey.
Sam. Stay away from the quarterback.
How when I read clearly past?
Get him out. Get him out. Get him out.
What do you want me to do?
Get him out. Get him out. Let's go, Don.
Get him out.
Damn. Oh, my gosh. What the f***?
Hey, you can complain all you want. You can complain all the f*** you want. You're too close. That's twice. It's not smart. So you can f*** all you want. But it turns out I'm running the practice.
So, no matter what Daniil and Will are up to, there is a certain level they won't get to.
Yeah.
And if they even get close, well, maybe D'Amico doesn't talk to them the same way Mike McDonald's talking to his defender. They're going to get a talking to. Hey, leave the quarterback alone. So that's the assurance the quarterback has that no matter what you're doing to disrupt me, you're not going to touch me. And I can act in a way where I know that. And I can feel more comfortable. Whereas Derek in question, if he was facing C.J. Stroud, Mike McDonald, all he wants Derek to do is hit C.J. Stroud. But when it's Sam Darnold, don't hump right now, whatever he says. The hump move made famous by Reggie White. But that's what I was trying to hump. Hey,
you can't be trying to hump right now. This isn't the time.
Does this become a sounder?
This falls into thuggery of like, I don't know when I would ever use.
You can't be trying to hump right now.
It'd be too serious of a situation.
Yeah, so... Yeah, CJ can be handling the pressure much better than he was in the past, but it's not real pressure. His head coach will tell Will, it's not time to hump right now.
You can't be trying to hump right now. This
Will,
isn't the time for it.
It's not the time for it. Apollo, you want to talk Rendon and Stroud? That is Keith's question. Hold through the break. We'll get to you immediately when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Caller call in during the break and say, hey, you got to save that. He did call Sean a DJ as well, but trust us, you know this show. Of course we would save it. The question is, how do we implement it in any circumstance? How do we do that? But yeah, it's not time to hump right now. We'll be part of the library. We just don't know when we'll get to use it.
You can't be trying to hump right now. This isn't the time for it.
Isn't the time.
It's not the time for it.
Yeah, exactly. The time is preseason game one if you play, regular season certainly. But in 11-on-11 against your own offense, it's not the time right now to hump, of
it's
all
not
things.
The time for it.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Derek.
It's like the same tone as like, no iPad at the dinner table, all right? It's not the time for it.
Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving.
Put away some more broccoli, and then you can screen time. Derek, screen time.
It's not the time for it.
So, Mike McDonald, part of Hard Knocks, and he's already a legend after a couple shows. Also, Terry Arnold was seen working out on Hard Knocks, too. The guy the Texans probably wanted kept private when they worked him out, but very public as Terry Arnold still working through his legal issues, but still working with NFL teams on a potential spot whenever some of that stuff gets cleared up. Apollo waited. We appreciate it. So, let's get to him now. He wants to talk Rendon and CJ Stroud. What's up, Apollo?
Sports fellas, double rides. It is the age-old question of man, to hump or not to hump, and when is the time?
It is a
or when to moose knuckle, you know? But, hey, first off, I wanted to make a comment, not combative comment, because I got misread a couple weeks ago. Apologize for that. No, don't want to start any stuff. But I will not allow any Anthony Rendon slander, okay? That is an old high school friend of mine who played a lot of select ball and stuff together and against each other in high school and stuff. But no, he does not probably have much interest in playing anymore. But, hey, that is a whole nother conversation. But I will not allow the Anthony Rendon slander. But second one, about the CJ thing, I'm glad you kind of broke it down that, no, this stuff does not matter, okay? The Texans can go 13, win 13 games this year or whatever, and then CJ is going to get them moose-knuckled in the playoffs again. So I say just cut bait after the season, go the Seattle Seahawks route and just get someone in here that can, like a Mac Jones or something, and keep building around him and then keep going. Practice, guys. This is practice. We're talking about practice. Who cares how they look? We know what CJ is. I will shut up and listen, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, you do forget that Rendon probably has people in the city. He is from Richmond, played at Rice. You would forget that he has plenty of people that he, well, in this case, played ball with him or just like him in general in the city. Hey, I can only point out what I can point out. And you agreed with us that he likely won't be playing baseball.
One of the finest from Lamar High School.
One of the best Rice baseball players ever.
Honestly, probably one of the richest people
has spent time in the Rice Village?
Yeah.
Which does have a lot of rich people going through it?
Yeah, but 100 millionaires? I'm not sure.
Unlikely.
Yeah. No, I agree that it's like there is a weird, I guess it's because like we're all sports fans or cover sports, but there is like an element of like, yeah, if he like doesn't like baseball anymore, or just, you know, he's kind of like, I won the World Series mission and got paid, mission accomplished. Like, that's not like a, there's nothing immoral about that. It's just, it's a very like, you know, honestly, like level headed thing to just be like, yep. Check, won the biggest thing.
I'm in my mid-30s. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, just like, all right, cool.
It just flies in the face of all the things we are supposed to believe.
That's what it is.
About these guys once they get there, that they're the drive that they always want to play. You got to drag them off the field. Some guys are like, nah.
I'm good.
Enough. And if I have to, if the Angels want to claw some stuff back of the deal, okay. But I'm out. I don't really want to do this anymore. And Rendon hasn't played baseball since 2024. And that's his choice. Chris, along with us, as far as practice not mattering, whether CJ is done as a Texan, that's a different story. Whether he fails in the playoffs, that's a different story. But all the flowery words stop when there are actual games to be played, and the games will prove if any, growth there has been.
And really, it's like the playoff. Like it's almost,
you've talked about
he's
it.
He's almost
for
like
him.
In NBA player mode of like it really. It's the 2 to 4 games that you play in January and February. That the playoff show, in the words of Pat Riley.
Pat Riley, yeah. You can coast as an NBA star, particularly if you have a loaded roster, win your 45 to 50 plus games or so, make the playoffs, and then we'll judge you there. CJ. If he has a bad regular season, it does put them in jeopardy.
Yeah.
They still may make the playoffs, but him having a bad regular season would put them in jeopardy, particularly if it means they're starting on the road and they have to go on the road throughout the playoffs. But, yeah, the playoffs tell, and CJ, his proving ground where people will decide what they think of him, unfortunately for him, is the playoffs because of how his playoffs began and ended in 2025. And for explanation, because not everyone hears when things become part of the station's lore, Lance at one point decided, you heard Chris make the moose knuckle reference a couple of times.
Apollo.
Yeah, sorry. Chris and Apollo have called in recently. Apollo. Sorry about that. Apollo made that reference. It is because Lance decided that phrase was going to mean people lost badly, got punched in the face, you got blown out, instead of what it actually means. So Apollo, I think, has been the the clear adapter of that word. He's used it a couple times in the way Lance has used it.
If you're gonna add to vernacular, like someone's got to use it, you know.
Yeah.
So he's doing his part.
And perhaps Apollo makes.
It starts with Apollo, or it starts with Lance.
Lance, and maybe Apollo turns it into a trend, and maybe
two more listeners,
maybe Webster's
listeners.
At some point. Yeah. Because they always get asked about words, and then they tweet about random words that have become viral. Hey,
yeah,
moose knuckling.
Yep.
Means getting your ass kicked in a sporting event because of the turn of phrase by Lance Zierlein.
What we need is Lance to have his kids start using it on TikTok and at school, and try to have it be Gen Z
they
viral.
They co-op it.
Yeah, viral slang from Gen Z.
Yeah, he took the dab from. Young Gen Z, or was it millennials who
that would have been young millennials?
Young millennials who did, yeah. Young Gen Z is like what,
like 13, 11?
Yeah. Young millennials are doing the dabbing. He took that from them.
Like Cam Newton did the dab.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when he was a great football player.
When he won the MVP,
he was in 15. He was doing the dab. Yeah. He was dabbing, and Lance has decided to turn it into a tornado dab. Look, trust me, his kids don't like it. None of us do either. We'll see if it goes in reverse. I doubt that. His wife or anyone who's an adult wants to hear him say that around children because questions get asked.
Yeah, that is, you know what? That is a good point. That is a good point.
So Apollo, credit to you. We're not children, at least of age. We certainly are children. You've heard this show, but
yeah, I mean, the newest drop.
I mean,
you can't be trying to hump right now. This isn't the time for it.
He didn't say that.
Doesn't help our
cause. A Super Bowl winning coach said that, not us.
The fact that we giggle at it.
We should. How could you not giggle? You got to be dead inside not to giggle.
The day I don't laugh at an NFL coach.
Is the day I know. I'm washed.
Yeah, I'm hanging up the headphones.
Yeah, if I don't laugh at an NFL coach telling another grown man about rushing his quarterback. It's not time to hump right now.
I'm leaving this station. I'm getting a soulless office space job, and yeah. I'm going to be one of the Bobs. All right,
testing AI at a data center. If it comes to that. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go. If you want to jump in on this childish show, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We're just about done here. A couple more minutes ago. So more people being let go at ESPN. Damian Woody, after 15 years, out at ESPN. He told The Athletic's Andrew Marchand, being at ESPN for 15 years, it's been an absolute joy. It's a long time to be in one place. Sure, he's on TV, and you recognize his face. Of course, lineman for the Patriots. And was it only the Patriots? Maybe he played at other spots, too. But so you know him, you recognize him. And whether you think it's a bad move or not, just being someplace in media for 15 years is a long time. So he says goodbye to ESPN, and they continue to make their moves. Ryan Clark earlier this offseason. I'm sure there will be others to follow as they are having to make up for their biggest names getting paid lots and lots of money. We all know about McAfee and Smith. That money has to come from somewhere.
It's a second apron world we live in, Dell.
It's made it to ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they not allowed to make trades?
Yeah.
If they're stuck in the second apron?
No draft picks. Draft pick gets frozen.
Yeah, it's tough to sign someone so they can go work SEC baseball if you still got Damon Woody
exactly
on a deal. So you gotta make your cuts in other spots. And another one who gets it is Damon Woody. Decade and a half at ESPN. Wouldn't have thought about it, but yeah, he's been a part of their NFL coverage for quite a while. That is no longer going to be the case. Also, if you missed it, the Lakers have been sold for $12.5 million to one Josh Kushner, yes, the brother of Jared, and Bob Iger, formerly big man in charge at Disney. So, Mark Walters, Is it Walters or Walter? Mark Walter. It's one. It's no S. He was
Kevin Walter.
Yes, he was a maybe their family. No, they're not. He was a previous owner of the Lakers, and he recently bought them for $10 billion. He has sold them for $12.5 billion. So, in the span of a year or so, he was able to make $2.5 million off being the owner of the Lakers. And if you're into conspiracies, Sean, you found an interesting one.
Yes, from at Betsy Cash Money on X.com. The DOJ and the SEC, not the Security Exchange Commission.
Not the SEC.
Not
the Southeastern Conference.
Yes. Are investigating brand new Lakers owner Mark Walter and the Guggenheim partners. And now Walter is suddenly selling the Lakers to Trump's, in-laws, essentially?
Yes, the brother of his daughter's husband.
Yeah. The brother of his brother. Of, son-in-law.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
So, and then add Windhorse Fingers.
Windhorse
Fingers. Of what does this mean? What could this mean? Could this be just a little hey, listen, okay.
But it's not as if he's selling it under market value, right? You're selling the team it would hold more credence. Now, he's had the Lakers for a short while, so certainly you would assume if he held them for longer, if they're worth $12.5 billion now, they'd be worth more with due time. So you could ask, hey, would you stand to make upwards of $4 billion if you kept them longer? So if you want to draw those conspiracy lines, you might want to. But $12.5 billion sale, and you make $2.5 billion, the question is, Sean, do those charges get dropped?
That's the Rudy Gobert trade in the original Windhorse Fingers was, why would the Utah Jazz be doing that? Boom, Rudy Gobert gets traded 5 hours later.
Yeah.
So that would be the other shoe drop.
So we have interesting ties. We must wait for a potential charges being dropped before we really start to think about what's going on here. But as it stands now, the Lakers sold for $12.5 billion.
Not bad.
Used to be just a little old mom and pop shop.
Yeah. What, didn't Jerry Buss, didn't he own car dealership? There's someone that just basically when they bought the team, they only owned car dealerships, and that was enough to buy a major sports franchise and then, 40 years later, sell it for billions.
I remember watching was it Showtime?
Winning Time.
Winning Time.
Because they couldn't call it. It was an HBO show.
Yeah, they couldn't call it Showtime. I don't remember him being a car salesman.
Yeah, and he was Dr. Jerry Buss.
Yeah, he was Dr. Jerry Buss. He was also an intrepid poker player. He played in high-stakes tournaments, part of the World Poker Tour. So he did other things.
He was an
avid coin collector, too, Jerry Buss was.
Yeah.
But and he is, car dealer, I do not see.
Yeah.
He was a real estate guy.
Real estate.
That's where he got his money from. Like a lot of people do.
Or was it? I forgot who. There was an NFL owner.
Sure it did happen.
He just owned car dealerships, bought the Minnesota Vikings.
And was you know what? Now I can sell them for billions when I want to. But as we told Eric, one of our concerned callers about big business being a part of our sports leagues, we are family-owned in this town. Don't you worry about it, Eric. From the Rockets to the Astros to the Texans.
He bought
family-run.
Dr. Jerry Buss, in 1979, bought the Lakers, the Kings, the Forum, and 1,300 acres of the Sierra Nevada for $67 million.
According to Winning Time, if I remember right, he wasn't really liquid or didn't have the assets really to do it. He had to really make some moves to make sure that deal got done.
That's $67.5 million. That is the equivalent, just adjusted inflation or adjusted for inflation, is still only $300 million in 2025 dollars.
I mean, What could you buy? Could you get an MLS franchise for that?
That's Paul George money. that's Joel Embiid.
No, I get it. It's baseball contract money.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think if you could get any, not NFL, not
for
NBA.
For 67 or for 30,
30, 330? Could you get an MLS franchise for $330 million?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not like the Galaxy, but you could. What's Sporting KC up for? You know,
they're one of the legacy franchises still, Sean.
What's Orlando FC? Mm. Oh no, are they SC?
Or are they Soccer Club or FC? Someone, and rightfully so, people have taken issue with American soccer trying to be like European soccer. You don't need, like, you could still be Kansas
Orlando
City.
Orlando City FC. Sorry.
Terrible. Orlando City FC? Yeah. That's atrocious.
Yeah.
You could be.
Or Orlando City SC.
Oh, my soccer, God. Soccer Club? Orlando City Soccer Club is what they're called? Yeah. Just get a nickname. We're Americans. We like
the Panthers.
We like nicknames. Like, it's okay. European soccer's never going to accept you. They're not. Just have a nickname. Like Inter Miami, their nickname is the Herons. I would be fine calling them the Miami Herons. It's fine. So, LA Galaxy, respect. You kept the name.
According to Forbes, they're $475 million. So, Orlando City SC.
So,
since we're talking about
that. So still not even 300 something.
No, you need other investors if you're Dr. Jerry Buss.
Well, glad he got the Lakers. And so is the rest of the Buss family. And so is Mark Walton. Made himself $2.5 billion. Let's see if selling, imagine this, selling your franchise and making $2.5 billion may not be the goal here. If we're going by conspiracy
theories.
Yeah,
that might just be what you have to do.
That's what you have to do. So the other thing you're worried about potentially goes away. All right. That music means we're done. Rich Eisen's up next. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what's it going to be?
You can't be trying to hump right now. This isn't the time for it.
I mean, it may be someplace. I won't rule out 11:58 Central Time. But if you're in a public place, like doing a radio show, it's certainly not the time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.